Well, good morning, VRVC. I wonder if I could take a point of personal privilege right at the beginning and ask you to pray a prayer of thanksgiving that 34 years this afternoon, Jalita Wells Parsley said, I do to me. God's goodness has certainly been pursuing me through that. So, point of personal privilege. Well, as Rob was saying, we did launch a sermon series last week. It's on servanthood. What the world needs now is to see servants like you and me following the Lord Jesus Christ, who has served us more than we could ever understand through his life and death and resurrection. And so that's what this series is all about. We're saying that servants are made, not born. There is an apprenticeship. We've been saying that God has plans for us in every season of our life. And so last week we talked about how the Lord, through the power of his Holy Spirit, called David into a life of service. And we talked about kind of our calling to follow Jesus and to serve him. And today we want to talk about the specific tools that God gives us, the spiritual gifts that he gives us. And so we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 16. I'm going to read verses 14 to 23. And as we read this passage, I want you to be thinking about the ways in which God has gifted you. Whether you're young, whether you're old like me, God is still refining the gifts that he's given us, and God intends for us to serve. And so listen now, 1 Samuel 16, we'll begin reading in verse 14. Hear the word of the Lord. Now, the spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Saul's attendant said to him, "See, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord command his servants here to search for someone who can play the lyre, L-Y-R-E. He will play when the evil spirit from God comes on you, and you'll feel better." So Saul said to his attendants, "Find someone who plays well and bring him to me." One of the servants answered, "I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem, who knows how to play the lyre. He's a brave man, a warrior. He speaks well and is fine looking, and the Lord is with him." Then Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who's with the sheep." So Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, a young goat, and sent them with his son David to Saul. David came to Saul and entered his service. Saul liked him very much, and David became one of his armor bearers. Then Saul sent word to Jesse, saying, "Allow David to remain in my service, for I am pleased with him." Whenever the Spirit from God came on Saul, David would take up his lyre and play. Then relief would come to Saul, and he would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. May God bless the reading of his word. Well, there's a lot of surprising things in this passage, aren't there? One of the things that surprised me right off the bat was how it caused me to picture King David. I mean, before I read this passage, if you'd have put a blank sheet of paper in front of me and said, "Draw a picture of King David," I'm pretty certain, although I can't draw that well, that I would have drawn a soldier, someone in battle garb, a sword, and a shield. And yet this picture of David is more a picture of someone with maybe a guitar strap over his shoulders. In fact, there's kind of an interesting juxtaposition when we think about the life of David. It's sort of like a cross between G.I. Joe and John Mayer, kind of all mixed up into one. But David, like many of us, was given more than one tool, more than one gift from God. And this morning, we're going to talk about why these gifts that God has given us are so important. And I say that maybe some of you are unaware of some of the gifts God has given you. Or maybe you are aware of these gifts, but you've yet to really put them into practice. And so I want to talk about, why does it matter? Why does it matter whether or not God has given us these gifts? And so the first thing I want to talk about is the need for your gifts, the need for my gifts. And our gifts are necessary because of the chaos of life. In other words, one of the main reasons God has given you spiritual gifts is to combat the chaos in our world. This is not breaking news. We live in a world where evil is reigning. We live in a world where we see this sad reality every day, and we see it right at the beginning of our passage. Once again, if you were with us last week, as we jumped into the middle of 1 Samuel, we talked about how God at this point in King Saul's life that God is basically given up on Saul. He's taken, if you will, the spiritual mantle off of Saul, and he's placing it on young David, even though it'll be many years before David fully becomes king. And in fact, if you look back to verse 13, we talked a lot about this verse last week, how Samuel the prophet used a physical symbol, anointing with olive oil over the head of David, to symbolize a spiritual reality, which was the Holy Spirit rushing upon David and remaining upon David the rest of his life. But unfortunately, when God takes his hand off of King Saul, a lot of negative stuff happens. In fact, look with me at verse 14. Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from King Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Now, that's a doozy of a verse, is it not? I bet you're wondering, what in the world is going on there? Maybe your mind is going in all different directions as you read that verse. A little bit of background. Not that I want to try to explain away the mystery of God, but a little bit of background. In the Old Testament, you might say in the Old Covenant, before the coming of Christ, the Holy Spirit would only appear and come upon certain individuals, usually leaders, sometimes for only certain periods of time. And usually the purpose of the Spirit's coming on that leader was to empower them to do a task. Sometimes they were given physical strength, like Samson in the book of Judges. Sometimes they were given the ability to prophesy, or they were given military strength, like Gideon. And regardless, the Spirit fell on individuals, only certain individuals, and only really to help them do what was necessary, a necessary task for that period of time. But when Jesus came and lived and died and rose again for us, he promised his disciples, he promised us that he would send the Holy Spirit. And 50 days after his resurrection, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell, and the Spirit fell on everybody. In fact, if you go back and read Acts 2, you'll read this prophecy of Joel coming true, that the Spirit falls on old men, the Spirit falls on young girls, the Spirit falls on everybody. And so if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have that Holy Spirit as a permanent possession. And so I want us to kind of orient us that we're talking about a covenant before Jesus Christ came. And so when God was basically taking his Spirit from King Saul, it left a chasm, if you will. I don't read this verse to say that God was sending demons into Saul. I think that what God was allowing Saul to experience was the absence of his presence. And in the absence of his presence, there's chaos. In the absence of his presence, there was hopelessness, there was rage, there was depression, there was gloom. You know, we live in a world where chaos is commonplace. And whether it's our sin that detonates the chaos, or whether it's somebody else's sin, maybe it's some mysterious cause, we don't even understand why, we cannot insulate ourselves from the effects of that chaos. I was in a Zoom meeting a couple of weeks ago, and I got a text from a friend in the church urging us to pray for missionary friends in the Middle East. And then she says, there's been an explosion. Well, I hadn't seen anything about it. But later, when I watched the videos of this terrible tragedy in Beirut, it was stunning. Maybe you've seen them. I mean, you see an explosion, and it looks really bad, and then it gets so much worse. Perhaps I've seen a couple of videos of two Lebanese brides who were getting their bridal portraits made, and there was video being shot, and one moment it is all calm and beauty, and the next moment it is chaos, a videographer practically blown off course, bride running, fleeing for safety. There's dust and debris and chaos everywhere. Now, I hope you've never experienced anything like that physically. But I think that picture, if you've seen the picture of the video, is a tragic yet accurate picture of what happens when evil detonates in our lives. One moment, there's calm and beauty. The next moment, destruction. One moment, there's peace. The next moment, we're running for our lives. One moment, everything looks solid and intact. And the next moment, everything is coming apart. Like I say, hope you've never experienced anything like that physically, but I bet there are a lot of people worshiping with us today who've experienced something like that emotionally or spiritually. You got a phone call, and it changed your life. I mean, before the call came, you were thinking about dinner that night, and after the call came announcing the death of a family member or friend, everything changed. Or perhaps one Friday morning, you walked into that same job you've walked into for years, the job that you hoped to retire from, and unexpectedly, that Friday afternoon, you were walking out of your office for the last time with a box of photographs in your hand. Or maybe you were on top of the world, but an error in judgment blew up your marriage, it gutted your family, and now chaos abounds. Look, friends, as long as we live in this world, we are not immune to the destructive power of pain and sin and sadness. We know what it's like when it feels like God is absent, when God's presence is absent. But the question is, what's to be done? What's to be done about the chaos? And what I want us to see is how the Holy Spirit works through our gifts. There's a need for your gift. There's a need for my gift. And the Holy Spirit works to bring his healing power into the chaos. And so what I want to talk about next, I think this is very important, is the power behind our gifts. I want to talk about the engine of our gifts, if you will. And that engine is the Holy Spirit. You see, yes, the title of the sermon is on God's gifts. It's the spiritual gifts. But we don't want to disconnect the gifts that God gives us from the power, the author of those gifts, and that's the Holy Spirit. Because if we do, we might grow proud, we might grow jealous of your gift or my gift. We might take ownership of our gifts. But no, the Spirit is the engine. And so let's talk about this true focus of the Spirit. I want you to see how this plays out in our passage. Saul's servants are watching him. They're observing him. And they may not know all the spiritual, behind-the-scenes stuff that's going on, but they can see evidence of chaos in his life. They use the word torment in verse 15. And so they ask, would you give us permission, O king, to search for really a kind of music therapist? It doesn't say that in the text, but that's basically what they're asking for. They want to bring a musician who can have a calming effect on Saul's chaotic soul. And so Saul says, go ahead. Then a little search committee goes out. And like a lot of search committees, they bring back a glowing recommendation of their candidate. Maybe they exaggerate a little bit, but listen to what the search committee brings back in verse 18. One of the servants, maybe the chair of the search committee, says, I've seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the lyre, small harp-like instrument. He's a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well, and he's a fine-looking man. I think my search committee said the same thing to you guys, and boy, weren't you disappointed when you saw the real thing. But I think the most important thing that the spokesperson says are the last six words of verse 18. We know these last six words are indisputably true, and that is, and the Lord is with him. Yes, he was a brave man. Yes, he was a warrior. Yes, he was a gifted musician and songwriter. But the main thing is that the Lord was with him. The Spirit of God was with David. We know this is true because verse 13, as we talked about last week, talked about how when Samuel anointed him with oil, the Holy Spirit rushed on David. Verse 13 says, from that day forward, Spirit of God that had departed from Saul would remain on David his whole life. In fact, as I was studying the sermon, I learned something brand new about a passage, really about a question I've always had and never really thought too much about, but it's always been back there. You may remember a pretty famous prayer of confession that David prays, a song that he writes, Psalm 51, after his affair with Bathsheba and after his murder of Bathsheba's husband. If you're ever looking for you need to confess something to God. Psalm 51 is a beautiful and eloquent prayer. And in kind of the sweet spot of the psalm, Psalm 51, David says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And then he says, do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Now, as a New Testament Christian, I read that and I go, well, why would he have to pray that? Well, because we know that when Jesus sends us the Spirit, it's forever. But when you think about the context of what David had seen Saul's gross sin and unfaithfulness. David had seen Saul turn his back on God, and David had seen God kind of take his hand of leadership, his hand of anointing off of Saul. And David, I think, is praying in Psalm 51. He's saying, Lord, I know I've messed up so bad. I have sinned so deeply. I come to you in brokenness and repentance. Please, Lord, don't take your spirit from me. Please don't. I'm nothing without your spirit. Nothing without your spirit. David is a gifted and talented person, but the engine is the Holy Spirit. And the same is true for you, and the same is true for me. What makes our gifts special is the work of the Spirit behind them. I want you to think about that. Maybe somebody right now in your life, maybe somebody in the church, they're walking around and there's some kind of lock that they can't pick. There's some kind of trouble in their life that they can't solve. And God has given you that gift. God has given you the key in your pocket to unlock that problem in their life. Maybe somebody right now is walking around praying a prayer, please, Lord, send me somebody to help me. And you are the answer to that prayer. Your gift, your availability, what God has given you. The world is chaotic. The world needs the gifts that God has given you. These gifts are extraordinary, not because of you or me, but because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And all that leads to where I really want to land today, and that is the third point I wanted to leave with you, which is the purpose of our gifts. The purpose of your gift and my gift is to bring order out of chaos. In other words, the Holy Spirit uses your spiritual gifts to bring order out of the chaos of life. Now let's look first at how this happens for David. King Saul sends to David's father, Jesse, I need your boy. And so Jesse sends his son to David along with a donkey loaded down with enough bread and wine to have communion services for years. And then he kind of throws in a young goat for an after-church barbecue as well. And as soon as King Saul meets David, he's instantly drawn to this young man. Now, unfortunately, that's not going to last. We'll see that a few weeks on in this series. Saul's going to grow jealous of David, and a lot of bad stuff's going to happen. But during this little idyllic moment, right, Saul is taken with David. In fact, he sends to his father and says, let him stay. Send his things. I need him. And David becomes a personal musician in the king's court. And whenever Saul's mind grew chaotic, as it often did, David would come, David would sing, David would play. And look what happens in verse 23 through this use of David's gift. Whenever the Spirit from God came on Saul, David would take up his lyre and play. Then relief would come to Saul. He would feel better. And the evil spirit would leave him. Eugene Peterson wrote a book on the life of David. It's called Leap Over a Wall. It's a great book. And he said that David's music helped to reestablish the divine order in Saul's disordered mind and emotions. Let me say that again. David's musical gifts helped to reestablish the divine order in Saul's disordered mind and emotions. That's what spiritual gifts do. God uses your gifts to bring harmony, order, beauty, peace out of chaos. Now let's state the obvious, right? Sometimes God literally does this through the gifts of music and singing. We've already been blessed by that this morning. Maybe you've had this experience. I know I have. You're at a funeral. Your heart is just eaten up with grief. And someone stands to sing, how great thou art, amazing grace. In the garden, it is well with my soul. I can only imagine. And that heart that was so broken, it feels the surge of joy, of peace, of calm, of comfort. God does that through our gifts. Maybe you've had an experience before where you or someone you know gets hit with a bad storm or maybe a fire. And then all of a sudden, this army of people just starts to show up. People with the gift of helps. And they bring paper towels and mops and trash bags and cleaning supplies and donuts and everything else. And they come into chaos and they bring literal order out of chaos just through their gifts of serving. Maybe you've had this experience where you were just so discouraged. Your heart was a wasteland. And a person with a gift of encouragement came along. And it's almost like they breathed courage They breathe strength into your failing heart. Right? The Holy Spirit working through their gifts, bringing order out of chaos. That's what the Spirit does. The Spirit uses your gifts to bless others. Think about it. What do people with teaching and preaching gifts do? They bring wisdom out of the chaos of confusion. What do leaders do? I mean, leaders come to situations like we don't know where to go. We don't know what to do. We're just standing in indecision. But a leader helps bring direction from the Spirit of God so that we can walk together. What do the merciful do? The merciful bring healing to our bruised souls. Friends, this is what church is all about. The Holy Spirit continually leading us to do this for one another, for our neighbors, for our world. One of my favorite ministry stories happened in a church in Palo Alto, California in the early 1970s. Think about California in the early 70s. It's kind of the tie-dyed flower power movement. And there was a pastor by the name of Ray Steadman, and he led his church to do something on Sunday nights, and they called it Body Life. That was the name of this Sunday night service. I want you to imagine this church, 800 people in a room that seats 750. Most are under 25, they're kind of that the flower children era, but there are also people in their 70s, 80s, there's people from all cultural backgrounds. A leader stands up and he says, "This is the body of Christ. We need each other. You have gifts I need. I have gifts you need. So let's share." And what happens next is people start to share. Like one woman stands up, she says, "I have a need. My brother is strung out on LSD. It's just killing me to watch him." And then the leader says, "Phil, you used to be strung out on LSD and the Lord saved you from that. Why don't you go stand by this woman and pray for her brother and pray for her?" And Phil does. And then a young man stands up and he says, "Hey, the Lord showed me the most wonderful thing in 1 John this week. Can I share it with you?" And I imagine the leader saying, "Yeah, 5 minutes, just 5 minutes, but go ahead." And he shares this exhortation from the Bible, and the people are blessed. And then another young man stands up. His name's Ernie. He's a college student. He says, "Would you guys pray? I don't know how it's going to happen. The Lord would bring me a car. I'm having a hitchhike to college. I'm late for my classes. I need something." And so the leader says, "Well, yeah, you know what? I'll pray for you." And he prays for Ernie. He says amen. And a middle-aged housewife in the back of the church stands up and says, "Look, I don't know how this happened, but the Lord gave me a car that I don't need this week. If Ernie wants it, here are the keys." And the group just kind of breaks into applause as Ernie runs toward this middle-aged housewife to receive the gift of a car. There's an offering later. The leader says, "If you have money, put it in the plate. If you need money, take it out, up to $10, which was a lot in 1970. Come by the office if you need more tomorrow. But the people of God sharing out of their gifts, sharing out of their generosity to meet the needs of the church. Isn't that beautiful? And you know, while right now we don't have a formal Body Life service, I think this kind of Body Life happens every week in our church, and it's beautiful. Can I share just a couple stories with you? We've been talking about SAC Summer Hunger, and some of our volunteers went out and ministered to a home, and one of the high school boys there said, "Hey, can I come out and volunteer with you?" And they said, "Sure." And along the way, as part of the conversation, this boy said, "You know what? I'm in high school now. When I was in elementary school, I had a Valley Ranch Baptist Church mentor, and I've lost touch with her. Her name was Sharon." And so the volunteers from our church kind of helped this young man get in touch with Sharon, who used her gifts to mentor him years ago, and those gifts still matter to him today. Isn't that cool? You know, we've been praying for our friends at Cornerstone. We know that community has been hit disproportionately hard by COVID-19, and a group of folks from VRBC have been using gifts of just letter writing and have been writing notes to Christmas store guests. Well, you know what? Some of those Christmas store guests have been answering those notes and writing letters back, and pen pal friendships are forming, just as people are available to the Holy Spirit and using their gifts. Friends, we never know what the Spirit's going to do when we take our gifts and say, "Lord, use me." Look, I know this is a chaotic time. People are struggling medically, financially. There's so much sorrow, so much loneliness. There's a lot of boredom for some. There's a lot of non-boredom for others. There's a lot of frustration. I see so much frustration. But if you know Christ is your Savior, He's filled you with His Spirit. He's given you a gift to share mercy, encouragement, teaching, wisdom, resources, the gift of giving, singing. Right? Would you pray that the Lord would highlight what gifts he wants you to put into play in this season? Would you pray that right now with me as I pray? Lord Jesus, thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to us. Now, Lord, would you channel your Spirit through each person listening today? Lord, I trust that they have given your life to you. If they haven't, they will today, Lord. But would you channel your Holy Spirit through each person listening, that you might use our gifts to bring order out of the chaotic space we find ourselves in. Spirit of God, bring peace. Bring peace out of chaos in your body, the body of Christ, the church, and in our community. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.